Let's Talk, Bible Fellowship Church's devotional podcast, devoted to bringing you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. I'm going to steal a page out of Pastor Todd's book, and I'm going to do the reading that's from our Abide devotional for today. And this comes from Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9, which say this: "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise and have no fear.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, 'Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead.'" I don't know if you've seen the movie The Princess Bride. I know it's one of Pastor Adam's favorite, if not his favorite, movies. But sort of the framework for the story that takes place is that a grandfather comes to read a book to his grandson who is sick and not feeling well, and he's in bed. And at first, you know, he's not interested in the story. It's a boring old book. You know, he's not going to care about it. But once he gets into the story, the grandson, of course, finds that he quite likes it. And there are moments throughout the story where it'll suddenly cut back to what's really going on, which is Columbo, the actor who's playing the grandfather, is reading a story to his grandson. And then it'll take you back into the story. But what this does is it kind of reminds you every once in a while, oh, wait, that's right. The real story is that a man is reading a story to his grandson. And everything that's taking place in the movie, all of the action, all of the drama, all of the romance, is a part of this story that is being read. This story, the transfiguration, why the transfiguration? It was really kind of my thought as I picked this up again, is what is this for? Why did God choose to reveal Jesus' glory in this way at this time? And in a moment, he's doing exactly what the movie makers were doing in The Princess Bride. It's a moment where the curtain is peeled back and you see what's really going on. This life can become very distracting. It can become all-encompassing. We can get focused merely on the horizontal and the things going on around us when we forget the vertical reality that God is telling a story of which this life is a part of, but it is not the entirety of. Our lives, if we live a nice, full, rich life into our 80s or 90s even, pales in comparison to eternity, to the ultimate story that God is telling. And in this moment in the Transfiguration, Jesus is revealed for who he really is. See, culture might be okay with a certain version of Jesus, a version of Jesus that is merely a humble, itinerant preacher on the move, you know, doesn't have any money, is serving, is making food and bread and fish for people, and he's telling people to love their enemies, telling people to sell everything they have and give it to the poor, and he's just a nice, loving kind of guy. That's Jesus. That is the only version of Jesus that people are okay with. But at the moment of the Transfiguration, we see a different picture. We see a fuller, more biblical picture of who Jesus is. Yes, Jesus came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. But in the moment of the Transfiguration, the curtain is pulled back and we see the full, complete picture of who Jesus is. It includes the one who comes to serve, but it also reveals Jesus as the one the whole Old Testament was pointing us towards. Right? This is the purpose of Moses and Elijah being there. They represent the law and the prophets. And Jesus says on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection, when his identity is withheld from the disciples that he's talking to, he explains to them, the scriptures say, how all the law and the prophets were pointing to him. So the Old Testament, in all of God's holiness and all of God's judgment, in his blessings and his curses, it's very off-putting for people today. It's why people want to get rid of the Old Testament. Jesus affirms it. Jesus is involved in telling the story. Jesus fulfills the Old Testament. And the ministry of Jesus is constantly pointing back to the Old Testament scriptures and how his coming fulfills them, how they were all pointing to him. But we also see Jesus as glorious, as the Lord. Jesus came the first time as a suffering servant to die for the sins of the whole world. But when he comes again, he's going to look like he does here in the Transfiguration. He's going to look glorious. His robes are going to be white. He's going to be riding on a war horse in judgment. And out of his mouth comes a sword with which he will judge the nations. This is also off-putting to people. This is also a version of Jesus that culture does not like. They're okay with a teacher. They're not okay with a Lord and a master, a holy God who has expectations for our lives today. And when we listen to God's instruction, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," listen to him. We listen to him, yes, as the suffering servant, but also as the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, also as the coming glorious King who will rule in justice, in power, and in love. This is our Savior. And as we worship him, we want to worship the biblical Jesus, who is worthy of our devotion, our obedience, our worship, and our praise. God, we thank you for this story from the Transfiguration that pulls back the curtain on the ultimate reality of who you are, of who Jesus is. God, so help us to worship you, help us to obey you, help us to love you, because you are worthy of our obedience, but also of our love and our appreciation. You call us friends. So Lord, help us to live like that today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for tuning into another edition of Let's Talk. Church family, you are loved. Have a blessed day.